Hello, lacrosse friends, and welcome once again to Box the Beat on NLL Radio, also available on iTunes via Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I'm Stephen Stamp, your host and an editor at ilindoor.com. This week, I have on as guests a pair of righty forwards. One is fairly new to the league, just establishing himself and had a huge breakout performance. The other is a long-term star veteran who is now in a new role with his new team this season. Keegan Ball of the Vancouver Warriors and Reese Dutch of the Calgary Roughnecks, this week on Box the Beat on NLL Radio. Joining me on Box the Beat from the Vancouver Warriors and fresh off a 14-point performance in Week 18, Keegan Ball. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on, and obviously a very exciting weekend. I mean, you had a big week earlier in the year as well when you had 10 points, but this is a breakout performance, not just for you, it'd be for pretty much anybody. There aren't many people that have a 14-point night. What did that game feel like? It looked like everything was working.
Yeah, I think everything was rolling for our offense in general. If you look at the box score, I think we had four guys in and around 10 points. And anytime you can do that, you want to see it for sure.
Some of the guys on the team have been together for a while. Mitch Jones comes in, but he played with Logan Schuss in New Westminster. You got a lot of BC boys in the group, so I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with each other, but the more you get to play together in this particular offense for Chris Gill and the group, for his coaching staff, and for this team, it's got to help as you gel as the season goes on after there were a lot of changes to the team.
Yeah, I think it took us a little bit to gel. Playing in New West for my first 3 years as a senior, I have a lot of familiarity with Gordon McBride and Logan Schuss, and then I actually played junior with Tony Malcolm, so
okay.
A lot of familiar faces, and I think we're just coming together as a group right now, and you know, we're going to look to build momentum for these last two games.
Obviously, the key focus right now is trying to get in the playoffs, not completely in your control, but if you win your last two games, you give yourselves a shot. Obviously, you'd like to have won some more games by now. There were some close calls earlier, but is the group seeming pretty focused on the task at hand?
Yeah, I think moving forward, we're only going to worry about what we can control, and those are our last two games. So we're going to come out there and do our best to win them and make the playoffs. Everyone's kind of hungry for it.
What was the process of you joining this team like? I know you were with them before, playing with the Vancouver Stealth at the time back in 2016 for eight games and 2017 for three games. Then weren't in the league last year. And it's interesting because so many people watching you play in St. Albert, in Alberta, and winning President's Cups and just ripping it up at the Senior B level against some pretty good competition. I heard a lot of people saying, who's going to give Keegan Ball a chance? Where is he going to get to play? Because he has the talent to be in the league. And I think there was consensus that he had the talent to be in the league, but there are still limited spots in the National Lacrosse League for all the great players out there. So it's not a given. How did you wind up back in Vancouver, and what was the feeling like when you got the call?
Dan Richardson reached out to me in the summer as soon as he got the job in Vancouver, as he was my GM in New West for 3 years, so I knew him a little bit and just kind of went from there and stayed in touch with him and decided, you know, pretty early into the fall there that I wanted to play, and so came home, and it felt really good. I was really excited to be back in the league and to do what I love every day.
Then you go to training camp. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed when you sign with a team or when you haven't been playing. You have to go in and earn it. When did you get the official word that you're going to be on the active roster heading into the season?
I don't think I got the official word until, you know, the last week of training camp. And as I know in the league anything can happen, so just went in there and worked hard and kind of saw what was going to happen.
Well, it's a short training camp this year because of the contract negotiations that were ongoing, so things got really compressed. And that's probably it tends to favor players who have been around because they're familiar, coaches are familiar with them, and don't have to extrapolate based on just a couple of weekends. But obviously your familiarity, you know, Dan's familiarity with you, I'm sure Chris Gill has been familiar with you from seeing you in the WLA in the past. That must have helped, but still you had a very short time to show what you could do in this league.
Yeah. You know, so I think going into camp, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And just made sure I played my game and played as hard as I could and just kind of let things, you know, fall where they would.
When you got into the season, did you have any kind of goals or expectations? Because it's interesting looking at it now, whenever you have hindsight, it seems obvious, like, wow, yeah, it's really worked out well. You've got 68 points. But you came into the season with a total of 28 points over, you know, two parts of two seasons. It must have been kind of – you must have been wondering what's going to happen, how's it all going to play out?
Yeah, I just – you know, like coming into the year, I didn't want to focus too much on points or anything like that. I just wanted to play within the system that we have and – to win more than anything and to do whatever was needed. And, you know, it's worked out great, and this season's been, you know, good for myself, but at the same time, you know, we're not in the playoffs yet, and that's kind of the main focus.
Mm-hmm. And that's a challenging balance, right? Because obviously, like, I mean, you mentioned all you guys as a team are focusing on is the task at hand, trying to win your last two games, hoping to get into the playoffs. You know, you need some help from the teams playing Colorado. But at the same time, you have to just, as an individual, you have to just focus on what you can do on your performance. And as much as you like to, you know, make it, and you're clearly a team player, you're clearly a guy who's focused on that bigger picture. But at the same time, putting up a lot of points is a good way to show that you can be part of helping the team win. So you need to focus on that side as well. And I'm curious how you and everybody, and obviously talking to you right now, how you find that balance of doing your individual things well so that you can help the team to play well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is knowing your role and then just not trying to do too much. Mm-hmm. Obviously one of my roles on the offense is to carry the ball, and that's the one thing I think I'm good at and what I like to do. So, you know, with that, I just try to be aggressive and stay aggressive and see what happens.
It's an interesting move for you from, you talked about your role, and you go from St. Albert, where obviously you're going to carry the ball a lot and play a pretty primary role. You come into Vancouver. Normally, guys coming in to the National Lacrosse League without a lot of experience aren't going to go into that role. But for you, it's a fairly lateral shift because you've got Jordan McBride, who's not a big ball carrier. He's a great finisher, really works well off ball. Tony Malcolm, very good complementary player. So on the right side of the offense, you slid kind of right into a role of carrying the ball more, which must have made it a little easier, I guess, because you didn't have to make the adjustments necessarily as many as some guys would.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. Chris and Rory, they've been great this year and shown a lot of confidence, and you know, it's allowed me to play my game, and I think that's one of the reasons that I've had success.
And obviously it doesn't hurt in terms of your performance, your numbers and things, and helping the team to be able to just throw it across the floor to Mitch Jones or Logan Schuss and let them do their thing as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're really dangerous when we're swinging the ball, touching both sides of the floor, and I think we proved that last game.
In the last game, I mean, it's such an interesting microcosm in some ways of the NLL, where any team can be competitive on any day, and there can also be any team can kind of dominate another team depending on how things are falling. So you guys come out, get that 9-1 lead, and then it's so hard to keep something like that rolling. You want to keep pushing. Chris Gill said, "Hey, we're going to keep going. We can't back off." But there's a such a natural tendency to be like, hey, we're up 9-1. Let's hold on to the ball for an extra 5 seconds every possession and keep the clock moving and keep, you know, long possessions. And you really have to find that balance in that as well, right? Because as we saw, Philadelphia actually outscored you guys after the first quarter just by one goal. But it's a real challenge to know exactly how to proceed there when you get that big lead.
Yeah, we've actually been on the other side of that big lead a couple times this year. And, you know, we've had some games where we've pushed it and, you know, almost came back or, you know, made it close. And so for us, knowing what it was like on the other side, one of the things we stressed was, you know, we can't let up and we got to keep playing hard.
Did anybody mention that specifically, or is that just something that you all seem to remember? Like, did one of the coaches or players say, hey, remember when we almost came back?
I think that was said in between quarters or in between a half, and just a simple reminder of, you know, we can't let our foot off the gas, and we need to keep going.
I want to talk a little bit about your seasons in St. Albert. I keep going to call it Prince Albert, because I've actually been to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and there is a team there, the Prince Albert Raiders, but the St. Albert Miners, obviously huge success. You've had great personal success, but again, the team success really important with the President's Cup championships. What's that whole experience been like for you?
It's been great. I spent 3 summers there and really enjoyed it. The team was built around the defense, and you know, they did a great job. I think there've been about 4 or 5 NLL players on the defense every year that we won, and that was a huge help. And then, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we took it very serious, even though it was Senior B. But yeah, I think that was one of the big reasons we got those results.
The defenders, I mean, it's a pretty impressive list. I mean, Ryan Dilks has been there. I know he met a girl and kind of settled in the area, Ben. He's been around. I believe, was John Lintz on that team as well?
Yeah, for 3 years.
Yeah, and who else were the some of the other big guys, the end the back?
Jared Toll.
Right.
This past year, we had Toll Reinholdt. Josh Sullivan.
Right.
Yeah, so I might be missing one or two other guys, but yeah, we've had a lot of talent on that back end to help us out.
Right. The one thing that stands out when you list those guys, I mean, Dilks and Reinholdt and Sullivan in particular, you know, solid defense, but also those guys are going to push the pace. So you can see where they contribute a lot in the scoring side as well.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. You know, a lot of speed on that back end, and we were able to run teams, and we were, I would say we were a lot deeper in the 3 championships that we won, and that helped us out a lot.
And of course, up front, you had some guys who might not be as well known, the Cornfields and some other guys who are, you know, not really outside of Alberta particularly well known, but I mean, you watch the President's Cups like we all get a chance to do every year, and it's clear there's a lot of talent in that team and you know, in the league, like outside of the NLL, there's a lot of guys who can play.
Yeah. As you said earlier, I think it's tough being in, you know, any side of the ball, trying to crack the NLL because there's so few teams. But no, we had a lot of skill up there. Richard Lachlan, who I've been to, you know, get his chance in this league. And it's nice to see Mike Triolo. Actually, he played last year with us. It's nice to see him on Rochester getting his chance because I think he's a very good player.
Yeah, Triolo's an interesting case because I've watched him since junior, and I always kept I've always been interested in Mike because he's about my size. I'm 6'9", and he's 6'8", so we've always been able to just look eye to eye, which doesn't happen very often for either of us. I've always kept track of him, and he was kind of caught between positions because he'd play some forward, he'd have people put him at transition, and he actually does a pretty good job in a D transition role, but was kind of caught in between, and it felt like in St. Albert might have been where he really broke out and established, I'm a forward, and this is where I'm going to play, and this is where I can be effective, and that's what's carried over for him in Rochester.
Yeah, I think that was a really important summer for him, especially, you know, that final game. I think he scored the game tying and the game-winning goal in overtime.
Right.
And that was pretty big. But no, it was a good summer. I think everyone learned from each other, and we just kind of improved.
So outside of the rink, you're mentioning you're working with your father's company in real estate development. So what's involved with that? You say the term real estate development, and I think everyone has a concept sort of, but what does it actually entail for you on a day-to-day basis?
I do the financial analysis and anything to do with accounting, numbers, and finance. That's my department. That's what my degree's in. So my day is on a computer for the most part. And
me too.
Just looking at financials.
Okay, I'm not looking at financials for the most part. I look at statistics and things. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Lake Erie College. It's a Division II school in Ohio.
Okay.
I went there for a lacrosse scholarship, and then I went to England for 1 year to get my master's.
Wow, what school?
Durham University.
Okay, nice. And when you're in England, did you get a chance to play at all, or was that just a year focused on, or a year and a half maybe, focused on school?
No, I got to play and help out to coach a little bit. That was the deal for me going over there. I got a scholarship through a lacrosse program, which was really nice. So I got to do a little bit of that, and then I got my schooling.
Excellent. And when was that you were over there?
That was right after I graduated from Lake Erie. So I think in 2013 and 2014.
Right. Excellent. So it's interesting because, I mean, I've seen the English team at the 2015 World Championships and the 2017 Euros, and it's fascinating to see some of these international programs. For them, the story is the same as with a lot of countries where they're torn. They're trying to develop native grown players, their own domestic guys, but they also are using some foreign players, Canadian nationals with the English heritage, largely up front on the at the offensive door, to try and help develop all the players and that. But they definitely want. I've talked to Walt Christensen, who I'm sure you know, who's coaching them, and his goal is to really develop an England team of English players, but. They run into trouble with facilities. There's just not a lot of facilities available and not a lot of players to draw from. So they're up against it, but it's fun to watch as they do develop things.
Yeah, it was really interesting being over there and kind of seeing the development of lacrosse. I think it's still pretty new. There were a lot of people in the league that I actually played who, you know, had only played for maybe 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think once they introduce it to a younger age, I get a little bit better, and there's more guys who are going over there and helping out, and I just think that's going to be better for the game.
All right. Well, I really appreciate your time. I just want to wrap up with a couple questions. As you move forward, did you guys, the Warriors, discuss how you're going to carry over the success you've had recently? You've won 3 of your last 5 home games. You're starting to come together. I'm sure the way that Dan Richardson and Chris Gill were hoping would happen, maybe a little earlier, but sometimes, you know, a lot of turnover takes some time. There's got to be a sense of confidence, but what's the process going into the final couple weeks?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, not getting overconfident or not overthinking anything, right? Just going in there and realizing that it is another game, and everyone needs to kind of buy in and play their role, and, the rest will take care of itself.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to join me, and congratulations. That's a huge weekend. We actually didn't really talk too much about the whole 14-point thing, and I know I've seen your interview and talking to you today. You're clearly very humble, and you don't want to spend a lot of time talking about what 14 points means in a game, but you've got to feel pretty good about putting that number up. I mean, the NLL record is 17 by Mark Stainhouse, you know, a legendary player in the league, and there aren't a lot of guys who have hit 14. I know we were all kind of scrambling as analysts and pundits of the game, like, when was the last time somebody scored a bunch of points as you were putting them up through the course of the game? We go back, Garrett Billings, I know a few years ago, had 15 points in a Toronto Rock game. what does it mean to you to have had that big performance?
It means a lot. Obviously, I'm very happy with the way I played and that performance. But at the end of the day, we gotta, can't dwell on it too much. Gotta look forward to Rochester and Toronto and close out the season on a high.
Yeah, like they say, in a lot of cases, and it can apply to anything, the most important game of your career is the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
The one interesting thing I want to point out, I mentioned it in my three stars column on IL Indoor, where you were the first star of the week, is that you got 7 points in the first half and 7 points in the second half, which is a pretty cool balance. It showed that it was working for you while everything was working for everybody on the Warriors, but it kept going well. You had a good second half when Philly had gotten over their travel and was playing much better. So to me, that is one of the key takeaways, is it wasn't just piling up a bunch of points when you're up against an opponent that seemed outmatched. You actually played very well as things got competitive as well.
Yeah, I think it was just important for us to stick to the same game plan. Like, even though we were up, not to abandon what we wanted to do that game and what was working. And I think that's what gave us the most success.
Perfect. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate you coming on, and good luck down the stretch of the season.
Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
Joining me on Box Labeat from the Calgary Roughnecks, Reese Dutch. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Stamper. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on, and it still feels a little strange to say that. It's very much inclined to go back to the old Vancouver days, but you've been there for a while. You must be settling in. How are you feeling with the Roughnecks?
Oh, it's awesome, man. I mean, it's top notch from the top down. Obviously the Flames organization is successful in what they do, and they've kind of carried that through our organization. And I don't know. I love everybody involved with the whole group. It's been great.
How long did it take you to get to that point? I know they, I've heard that you were welcomed with open arms. You obviously jumped in and fit in pretty quickly, but there still must have been a period of adjustment or just with all the change, just getting used to it.
Yeah, I mean, totally. It was such a whirlwind couple of days, right? I mean, I was on Vancouver in the morning and then Calgary by the afternoon. So it was kind of a, you wake up with one mindset and you go to bed with another. And then 2 days later, I'm traveling to training camp. So it wasn't, I didn't really have time to sort of sit back and take it all in. And it was just sort of a whirlwind, which I think worked out for the better in a way. I just, like you said, welcomed with open arms, and it was a welcome opportunity. And I'm very grateful to them for that opportunity. And I mean, it's been an awesome year.
And then you go into camp and you start the season, and Curtis Dixon is out sorting out his contract. So you're thrust into a pretty big role immediately, which was probably fairly comfortable for you. It's something that you'd the kind of role you'd been in for most of your career as a number one, as a star player, putting up 100 points a couple of times. But what was the change like when Curtis came back? And clearly he's the straw that stirs the drink there. I mean, he's an amazing player. And I know you've sort of accepted, I think quite enthusiastically, more of a supporting role. What was that adjustment like?
New aspects in that maybe before had a lot of experience. And I mean, Mullis has really kind of helped me adapt to kind of being, I don't like the word secondary, but, maybe not the primary ball carrier.
That's why I said supporting.
It's all good. No, just learning, learning motions with the ball, like off the ball, and learn send proper picks, angles, and, it's my 11th season in the game, but I think, any athlete or any professional tell you, you're always a student of the game, and it's just been an awesome experience to play for him, and he's taught me a lot in just the short year that I've been there. So, I mean, it wasn't anything new to me. Curtis, he's probably the best goal scorer in the world. So it wasn't a surprise when I came in, the ball was going to be in his stick more. It was just up to me to adjust and make sure that he was successful, and I could help him be successful as well as the rest of the offense.
Do you feel like there's been a lot of technical change to your or strategic change to your game? Where, like you said, you know, you're not going to be carrying the ball as much because Curtis does have the ball a lot, and I mean Dane Dobie's having such an amazing year as well. That, like you said, your role, and I don't think secondary is the word. I think supporting or I mean complementary is a word that gets used a lot. Where you're all working towards the same thing anyway. It's just the way that you get there is a bit different, right?
Yeah, totally. My game's adapted. I used to go to the net a little bit more, and I'm getting back to being able to do that, right? I started the year, I wasn't completely back to being healthy yet, and it's kind of been a work in progress. So, I mean, that part of my game will come back, but it's just, it's a good thing. We're built as an offense. We have Dixon and the Dobies that are going to put up 100 points and score a whole bunch of goals, but everybody else in that, yeah, I like the supporting roles. I mean, we got... there's no time when all five guys on the floor aren't a threat to score, and that's just part of the system, also part of the group that we have. So it's just an awesome offense to be part of, kind of sum it up.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, Dixon and Dobie scoring 100 points in that. This is actually the first season that Dane Dobie has scored 100 points. His previous career high was 90. He's been a very good player for a long time, but it just looks like this year at, you know, 32 years of age, he's suddenly found another gear. I think he's playing. It's not substantially better, because like I said, he was already very good, but there seems to be just that little extra to his game this year. And you've got a nice close view of it. Like, do you see something that's different in the way he's going to bed, or are things just clicking? It's just kind of one of those years.
I think his role has changed a little bit too. I mean, he's the ball's in his stick a lot more. He's not just as much sort of a finisher. He's or the off ball guy that's setting the pick. You know, he's carrying the ball a lot more this year than I've kind of seen him do in the past, and he's kind of initiating the plays, and I think, you know, that's going to pick up those assists and create opportunity to score for him. So, I mean, he's always been a goal scorer. He's gotten lots of goals, and I think now he's kind of playing a little bit, he's a bit of more of a floor general or a playmaker as well, so that's probably contributing to quite a bit of the points. I mean, it's a role that he's obviously doing really well, and we're happy to have him in, so... Yeah, I think, I'd get used to seeing him do this well for another few years anyway.
Yeah, it is interesting. You look at the numbers the way you describe it, that, you know, playing more of a setup role and facilitating, and he's got 64 assists this year. He's never had more than 50 before, and he is, it just seems like he's having more opportunities to make the passes, and I guess that is just naturally comes from carrying the ball. But I'm sure part of it also is, you know, having you there and having Dan Taylor and Riley Lowen still there, or Taylor coming in, Lowen around. There's a growing familiarity, and like you said, it just seems like everyone's really comfortable with what you're doing, and it's starting to show. Does it feel like the offense is more dangerous than it was early in the season?
It does. I think we're kind of finding our stride at the right moment. Our offense is best when the ball's moving a lot and opportunities are created through that. And I think at times when we're maybe under a little bit of pressure or felt like maybe the ball wasn't falling for us, the ball would kind of tend to die and our feet would die a little bit. But the focus over the last few weeks has just been kind of making, you know, simplify the game, the ball movement, the feet movement, you know, and then kind of apply some of the stuff that Mouse is teaching us, and we're going to be just fine. And you know, we've put up some good numbers since we've kind of been more focused on that.
You're sitting at 9-8. You've scored one more goal than you've given up, and it's, you know, you're 4-4 at home, 5-4 on the road, and it's very much been a season of runs. I mean, you guys, lacrosse, we always talk about lacrosse being a game of runs, but we usually mean it within a game, or a team will score some goals, the other team will score. But for you guys, it's been like win two games, lose two games, win three games, lose three games, and actually remarkably consistently following that until the last couple of weeks. And it's got to be challenging. I've talked to Mouse, I've talked to other people about it, where it must be, there's got to be somewhere where you're like, how do we find the really good stuff and keep doing that over and over again? And of course it's challenging when you've got whoever you're playing is trying to stop you from doing whatever you're doing well. But do you feel like in the last couple of weeks, like you said, you feel like you're clicking at the right time? Do you think you guys are maybe getting your finger on what it is that makes you successful, so you can do it week after week?
Yeah, I do. Like I said, I think we've simplified it a bit, and that's just helped, you know, that's been made it easier to run a bit of our systems. And I think in a couple of those win streaks that we had early in the year, we got a little complacent coming back. I think we started to get a little too comfortable. I mean, we got a lot of talent on this roster, but at the end of the day, it's a blue-collar team, and most of, and everybody, all of our leaders have said that since the beginning of the year. And regardless of how much talent we have out there, we're going to have to outwork the other team to be successful, at least in the long run. So I think, personally, I think we got a little complacent after we strung a couple wins together a couple times, and that sort of set us in the wrong direction. But we've recognized that, and you know, every time we go to practice now, it's all business, no play until we go, until the practice is over, and then we can kind of maybe tone it down and start chattering about stuff other than lacrosse. But you know, blue collar business attitude is going to be what makes us successful. And I think we've kind of adapted that now, and there's no getting away from it. And you know, like I said, the last couple of weeks, it's helped breed our success.
Nice. We've talked about the on-floor stuff, and obviously there are adjustments when you go to a new team on the floor with how you play, but I would think, having been in Vancouver for so long in one franchise and, you know, being with Victoria, you haven't been with a lot of different teams as much as some guys who have tended to move around more. And I'm curious, that must have been a pretty big change for you, just the off-floor stuff, like just scheduling and new guys and the interactions with different people must have been. Obviously, you're saying you really like it, and it sounds pretty obvious or pretty clear from the way you're talking that it's been great. But what was it like just getting used to all those different changes?
I mean, the schedule, like day-to-day schedule, are fairly similar for most teams. I mean, the game times haven't changed. The practice times are slightly different. But, I mean, I'm still traveling from Victoria. I'm still – I mean, it's been great actually flying rather than taking the ferry. But, I mean, a lot of the guys I played with, right, there's a bunch of guys on the Shamrocks. There's guys that are still on the Shamrocks, and then there's guys that used to be. So, I mean – you know, aside from maybe some of the younger guys, I played with most of the guys in the locker room. You know, I played, you know, in Team Canada with some guys. Like, it's just kind of, I'm familiar with a lot of them personally, just because the lacrosse world is so small. So it wasn't a huge adjustment in the social thing or the day-to-day scheduling. I actually probably knew a good chunk of the team, maybe even more than half, before I even got there.
Right. And just the way they deal with things, like, I always think in football, like, I follow a lot of NFL, like, Monday morning quarterback stuff, because I find the coverage of it is really terrific, and it's something I like to think, hey, this is how we can try to cover lacrosse as well, like, get into this. And you always hear analysts talking about it, and coaches and GMs talking about the change in terminology, just the way it can be the same things that you're doing, but little different ways of phrasing things in a different offense, or that there's not the same complexity to a cross offense with five players on the floor as there is with a football offense with 11 guys. But was there some of that where you just had to get used to hearing something and being like, okay, right, that means this, or any of those changes?
Yeah, definitely. That was... Yeah, my head was spinning definitely the first couple of practices. It was, and I mean, we with the shortened training camp too, right? They didn't have time to kind of start at the beginning with a couple of new guys. It was, it was pick it up on the fly or look a little stupid when you don't know what's going on. So the first couple of practices, I definitely caught myself stepping back to just kind of try and figure out what was going on, that's for sure. And I mean, most of the guys, I guess, especially in the offense, have been there for a couple of years at least, so it wasn't anything sort of new to them. But I was definitely learning on the fly, and I felt a victim of that a few times for sure.
I'm sure some of the young guys enjoyed seeing the veteran who's just come in having to relearn some things. So, you know, it balances things out a bit for them.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of jokes behind the scenes made, but I caught up.
I'm sure. I mean, obviously, you know the game, you've been playing, you're a very smart player. I'm sure it didn't take you too long. I'm very curious about, you've been announced as coming back with the Victoria Shamrocks. You have been there for a long time as well, and that's a, you know, a place where you've got a championship a few years ago now, and I know the team is really trying to build to something and get back to being at the top of the WLA, which is very challenging these days. I mean, Maple Ridge has been very good. You know, Burnaby a couple of years ago had a great season. New West, obviously very competitive. There's a lot of teams that are battling for that. What's the feeling around the Shamrocks as much as you can have when you're not together right now? And what are you thinking about the season ahead?
Oh, I'm excited, man. I think we got a good core group of guys. You know, a lot of veterans in there, but they're doing a good job. We got some imports coming in and some young talent I mean, obviously, getting Marshall King back from Maple Ridge was great. I think we got a good build this year. There's not really any holes or depth, which may have been an issue, maybe not last year, but a couple years ago. And it's just kind of, I think they've kind of filled all the spots. Just being summer and the age of some guys, it's going to be sort of part-time for some people and stuff, but there's a lot of depth on this team, and that's exciting, right? We're going to be competing every night, and then when it comes down to the playoffs, like you said, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be exciting for the fans to watch, I think, in BC.
With Casey Jackson having a breakout season last summer, I think kind of fulfilling the promise that a lot of us thought he'd had for years that, I mean, he left the game for a couple of years when he was living in Florida. He just kind of took a bit of a meandering path to find his game in senior lacrosse, but a huge summer last year. And then he's really having a breakout, I think, like second half of the season in particular in San Diego. He's got over 30 goals this year. That's got to be an exciting prospect for you and the rest of the offense to know that he's like hitting his stride with that athleticism and the talent. The ceiling's kind of the limit for him.
Oh, totally. I mean, he's an amazing player. I mean, like you said, he was a talent that a lot of people had their eyes on when he was younger. And he's kind of finding his stride now as he's getting a little older. But, I mean, he's a great guy on and off the floor. I'm excited to play with him, but I'm also just excited to be on the same team as him. He's going to make any offense stronger. A healthy Jesse King playing with him and Chris Wardle. There's a lot of weapons on that side that he complements and plays with really well.
Yeah, of course, great to see Jesse King back last week. And obviously it was tough for him. It's tough for anybody who's missing most of a season with an injury. But how did he feel after the game? Did you guys get a chance to talk? Did he say how the first game went for him?
Well, he's exciting. I mean, obviously, Georgia being his old team, too, there's a lot of emotional, it seemed to me anyways, it was an emotional game as well as a physical one for him. And to see him play so well was awesome, man. He's just a great guy with a great heart, and he loves the game, and it was great to see him be so successful in his first game back. So, we sat there, and we had a few ice bags on our bodies and had a chat after the game, just the way it goes. And, it was great, and I'm excited that he's going to be back in the lineup, obviously, this weekend, and he's going to be there to help us make a run in the playoffs.
What a boost. I mean, you can't even get – you can't make a trade at this point in the season. There aren't a lot of, street free agents that you can pick up to have a real impact on a team. So adding someone like Jesse King, it's almost like getting a little bonus addition to the roster since he hasn't been there all year. Like, that's quite a boost.
Yeah, oh, totally. I don't really know what to add to what you just said. It's very true, right? I mean, he's been on our roster. It's kind of been – That hidden gem that's not really been hidden on purpose, but just because he's been injured, to get him back, it's just been great. Like, he's a student of the game. He loves it. And it's inspirational to play with, as well as the kind of, he gives you a little bit of excitement and energy in the lineup, too.
He's also got some grit. You think of him as a skill guy, but he's got some grit. He'll get in and muck it up.
Big body.
And whatever's necessary, right? So that always helps for everyone else on the floor, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a very versatile player. I mean, like, that's kind of the conversation I had with a few people last weekend, is that he can just do anything. He's got great hands around the net. He can shoot the ball from outside. Great vision, can feed him. But then he's also the first guy to run through and set a huge pick. So there's really nothing he can't do. Another guy will make any offense better, and we're just lucky to get him back. It's great.
I wanted to ask about the family, because, I mean, you're a dad now, right, for, is it a year and a half, or is it more? It's probably more. It's probably like...
Oh, no, I got a 3.5-year-old boy and a 1.5-year-old girl.
Right. It's the girl, 3.5, that's right, because it was, holy cow, it's that long ago now. It was 2015, right?
Yeah, my boy was 6 days old when we won the Man Cup.
That's right, because you had him there. I was thinking... Baby, really young, but of course I was 3.5 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, time flies when you don't sleep.
How are things going with them? It's a big change in your life, everyone talks about having kids. It kind of changes the way that you view the world, but also, like you said, if you're not sleeping, if you're not, everything, your schedules, everything just revolves around a completely different way.
Totally. I mean, yeah, it's going great. I love him. And he loves lacrosse. He probably likes it more than I do. He never puts a stick down. He's going to be forcibly reckoned with from an early age, I think. Proud dad moment.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it's awesome to have a little family of our own and be able to share, share kind of my love for the sport with him. And it's, I mean, when they get to come to games and stuff, it's awesome. It's just great to have him around.
Is he a righty or a lefty?
Oh, he's a lefty.
Oh, good thinking.
I tried an early age to keep switching his hands, but he just kept switching back, so I finally gave in.
Hey, if he's got that kind of predilection, there's not much you can do about it. But being lefties are always in demand.
That's true. They do. They write. There's less of them, so they get all the coaching when they're young.
Right? Especially if he happens to go south of the border, there's hardly any lefties. You'd get all the attention and all the reps.
That's true. I like it. All right, fine.
What about your daughter? Is she showing much interest in lacrosse yet, or is it a bit early?
She'll kind of pick up and follow him around, but I mean, you know, she's still pretty young, doesn't really kind of understand it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure she will get into it.
She'll cheer at the TV, though.
What's that?
I said she'll cheer at the TV. She does have a pretty good Go Daddy Go chant.
Nice. That's pretty good. That's a good start. Yeah. Wow, well, great to hear the family's going along well. And again, congratulations on your season. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and look forward to watching you down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me. It's been good chatting.
All right, that'll just about wrap things up for this episode of Box LaBeat on NLL Radio, also available on iTunes via Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I'm Stephen Stamp, your host of the podcast and an editor at ilindoor.com, where you can find the best of NLL and other box lacrosse coverage on the internet. This wraps up week 18 of the NLL season. And next week, I will be in Prague, Czech Republic, still sorting out the details of how we're going to manage Box LaBeat for the next couple of weeks, but I'm going to work something out and keep the interviews coming. This week, my thanks to my guests for a couple of great interviews, Keegan Ball of the Vancouver Warriors, Reese Dutch of the Calgary Roughnecks, and of course, thanks to you, lacrosse friends, for being here on Box LaBeat on NLL Radio. We'll see you next time.